Welcome to How to Teach a Language, a workshop for one-on-one language teachers podcast. This is a podcast for those of you who teach a language one-on-one, in person, or using one of those platforms that enable you to teach online. In this podcast, I'm going to help you become an informed, reflective, and effective language teacher by sharing with you how to teach a language based on my knowledge from the studies and literature from the field of second language acquisition, the field that studies every aspect of how we learn a language, and also from my own experience as a language instructor and as a language learner myself. So let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast, How to Teach a Language. This is a podcast for those of you who offer one-on-one lessons online using one of those platforms that enable you to teach online. And I hope that with this podcast, I can share with you what I know about language teaching so that you can be informed and be more effective when you are teaching to your students. It's been a while since I recorded an episode. I have been really busy, so many things to do, and I have other podcasts to teach Spanish that I have been polishing and preparing, and just so much work. So I'm happy to be able to record this episode today to share what I know about language teaching and cover one topic today. And hopefully I can do more episodes in the future and not wait another year to do another episode. So today I want to share with you a concept that is very important in the knowledge that we have about how to teach languages. And today I'm going to share with you what I know about connectionism. What I'm going to do in this episode now and on future episodes is that I'm just simply going to share what I know about the topic. Before, I was preparing a lot and trying to get quotes from my books and reviewing. And that's why this podcast was taking a long time to be able to prepare and to record. So instead of trying to spend so much time, I'm simply going to share with you what I know about the topic and some thoughts about how this helps us to become better language teachers. I hope this will allow me to also be able to record more episodes and not spend so much time trying to get quotes from the various books I have on how we learn languages. So I'm simply just going to share what I know about the concept, what I know about the topic, the paradigm, and the way that I understand it, and based on that, some ideas on how it helps us to become better language teachers. So today, I'm going to talk a little bit about connectionism, and it is an important concept because it explains how it is that we develop the subconscious command of a language. And what connectionism basically tells us is that to be able to develop the subconscious command of the language, the mental representation of language, the first thing that we need is to get a lot of input, to get samples of the language, to get input through communication, through reading, listening, interacting with the language. And then through that process in our brain, we create neurological connections that store parts of language, that stores how language is used and how it is transformed But this happens by storing language in neurological connections. One of the most important scholars, the most important experts in this field, who has studied connectionism, who has conducted research on connectionism, is Professor Nick Ellis. And if you want to look him up, he has articles about it. And he's probably one of the most quoted scholars in regards to connectionism. So the way that connectionism explains the way that we develop the ability to speak a language fluently is by getting a lot of input, getting a lot of exposure in the language, and by encountering phrases many times. Eventually, these phrases become neurological connections. And as we encounter these phrases or encounter these properties of the language, these connections become stronger. And what we need is frequency, encounter the language, encounter the phrases, encounter the properties many times so that it can become stronger in our brain. For that reason, there are two other ideas associated with connectionism that are important. And one is frequency, and the other one is robustness. Frequency refers to encountering all these chunks of language, phrases of language, properties of the language, many times in context. And like I said, as we encounter them, we create neurological connections that become stronger. And robustness refers to the fact that as we encounter the phrases, the chunks, these neurological connections become more and more and more robust. And the more robust they become, the easier it is for us to access that information, to access those phrases, and eventually be able to speak fluently. So that's the core idea on connectionism. I really oversimplify it. I'm trying to give you the concept in the simplest way possible so that you can understand what it is that it tells us about being able to develop the language in our mind, to develop the mental representation of language, to develop the subconscious knowledge of the language. Now, I mentioned earlier the idea of language chunks. That is actually something that professors and experts use in talking about segments of language. And if you're wondering what that means, let me use an example that Professor Rod Ellis uses when he talks about language chunks and formulaic language and how it is related to connectionism. Now, if you're wondering if Rod Ellis and Professor Nick Ellis are related, I don't think they are related. They just happen to share the same name. But Professor Rod Ellis is considered one of the top experts in second language acquisition. He was a scholar from the University of Auckland and then in California at the University of Anaheim, if I'm not mistaken. But Professor Rod Ellis is considered a top expert. And if you want to read about him, he has written many books and published many articles. But he uses one particular example, and that is the phrase, "I don't know." I don't know. Professor Rod Ellis explains that as we encounter "I don't know," the phrase "I don't know," and this is just a sample, right? Because this can be some other type of phrase, but "I don't know" is something that we store in our brain as a unit. So this phrase or this language chunk or another term that you will also hear is formulaic language. As you hear this "I don't know," I don't know. A neurological connection is created in the brain. And as we encounter, I don't know, this connection becomes stronger and robust. And then we use it as a unit. And as it gets more represented in our brain, then we naturally begin to deconstruct it and construct new sentences. For example, I don't know, it's stored as a unit, but eventually we naturally are able to deconstruct and say, oh, I can say, I don't know, I don't do, I don't spend. And this may seem like a simple example, but imagine all the different phrases that we have in a language and how we're able to create millions of neurological connections, and as they get well represented in our brain, as they get robust, then that's how we're able to become fluent and speak rapidly. So this is how connectionism explains how we learn a language. And I will say that many professors and scholars that I have talked to have highlighted that it is an important concept to know, and they apply that when they teach. And the way you apply it is very simple. What you want to do is to make sure that when you're teaching, you want to provide context. You want to teach in a way that is easy for your students to understand, but you make sure that you provide a lot of frequency on the phrases and a lot of frequency on the properties of the language. For example, Professor Bill Van Patten, who is also one of the top experts in second language acquisition. I have many of his books, and he's one of the scholars that I read the most. He has highlighted how, for example, in Spanish, we have conjugations when we are using the present, the past, and other tenses. And the way Professor Bill Van Patten has explained the way we develop competency, fluency in our ability to quickly use verbs is that as we encounter these conjugations in a communicative context where that is purpose for the communication, not just practicing tenses to practice a particular grammatical conjugation, what you do is, in a communicative context, we provide a lot of examples and we store the word as a unit in the brain. And eventually, the same thing happens, like I said before, that we are able to deconstruct and quickly construct. In other words, we're not quickly conjugating, but we are just now having a well-represented idea of how conjugation works, and then we are able to generalize it and apply it. So again, I'm really oversimplifying. I wish I could give you more, but then it'll make it complicated. But the main idea is that you want to provide plenty of opportunities for students to hear these phrases, to hear the conjugation in a communicative context so that it can become well represented in our brain and for us to be able to facilitate how we create neurological connections that store that information so that students can eventually have robust neurological connections that allow them to become fluent in the language. So that's connectionism. I hope you found this topic interesting, and it is an important concept in how we learn languages. You can look it up, and I'm sure you'll be able to find out more information. And I hope that this also grows your knowledge about what we know about language learning from the field that studies everything that has to do with second language acquisition, the field of SLA. Second language acquisition. All right, I hope you enjoyed this episode. and I will see you on a future episode. Thank you for listening, and hasta pronto. All right, that is all for this episode. If you like the podcast, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, on your iPhone, iPad, or on iTunes. If you're using a different app, and if the app that you are using allows you to rate the podcast, please rate the podcast to help the podcast grow. If you want to explore my other podcast, you can find the links to my other podcast and my website on the show notes. Thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. And I'll see you on the next episode. See you later. Adios.